Good morning, my friends, and happy Easter. Yes, it is still Easter. Easter is a season. It's not just one day. And we are continuing to celebrate the good news of the resurrection. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning, especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you feel welcomed and have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you at the passing of the peace and after the service is over. I would invite everyone who's here to sign in. We have registration pads at the end of each row, and hopefully they're making their way down the row. If you would be willing to sign in and let us know you were here. If you are visiting and would like to know more about our congregation, you can share your email address or a mailing address, and that'll give us a chance to reach out to you in the days ahead. As those registration pads make their way back to the center, I would invite those of you sitting on the center to tear off the pages that have been filled out and place them on top of the pads. That is a big help to our ushers. If you're a college student, you are invited to lunch after the service. Every Sunday at 12:15, our college students gather in Reed Hall, just outside this doorway, and go to lunch together for a time of connection and fellowship. So everybody's welcome if you're in college. I also wanted to say a word about our upcoming Sabbath workshop, which is Saturday, the 21st of April, here at West End in the morning. We have invited Dana Trent to come and lead us in that time. She's written a book recently published just this fall called For Sabbath's Sake. And I've heard from many people who've been part of her workshops that she's a great teacher, and it will be an inspiration to be with her and allow her to help us practice the Sabbath in our daily lives. So that's April 21st, and you can find more information in your inserts. Finally, I just want to celebrate what a wonderful day we had yesterday. We had about 100 people signed up for the great day of service. We gathered downstairs about 8:30, and people went out in all directions, people of all ages, to serve in our community in different ways. And it was just wonderful to see the light of Christ flowing through this place and out into our world. So a big thanks to Lisa Guak and our outreach team for putting that together and giving us that opportunity. In this second Sunday of Easter, for the next few weeks, we will be looking at the early church and how the power of the resurrection changed the followers of Jesus and changed the world. So as we continue our worship together, I invite you together with me to open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit as we are called this day to be the church.
Good Christians,
This is the good news we proclaim to you. Walk in the light of his love. Come, let us worship the one who overcame death.
Let us celebrate the triumph of our Lord. Amen.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A little over a month ago, I was sitting in the waiting room at the dentist office, everyone's favorite place to be, when I looked over and saw a copy of Real Simple magazine. Now, I used to have a subscription to Real Simple, but I gave it up because it just made me feel bad about how unorganized my life is. And I just seem to come away every time of reading Real Simple thinking I just need more plastic bins in my life. So I gave up the subscription, but anytime I see a copy in a waiting room or at an airport, I enjoy looking through it. One of the things they do in Real Simple is do before and after pictures. You know, for example, they'll show somebody's really messy laundry room with kids' dirty shoes everywhere and backpacks, and then the after picture, which they bring in the experts and several bins from the Container Store, and they organize the whole laundry room, and suddenly it's all transformed and nice and neat. And I just love looking at that before and after. It's a typical technique that advertisers use, whether they're advertising Invisalign braces or paint colors or whatever it might be. Here's the picture of what it looked like before, and now see what it looks like after. I couldn't help but think about those contrasts between before and after as I read these verses from the book of Acts. Did you hear what Claudia read? How Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, how Luke describes that first manifestation of the church. These followers of Jesus were of one heart and one soul. And they sold everything they had and pooled all of their resources and shared everything. And there was not a needy person among them. And great grace was upon them all. You remember last week, right? And Holy Week and all the events leading up to that? You remember what this ragtag band of followers looked like before, right? What happened? Well, on May 20th, we'll gather for worship and we'll hear the story of Pentecost. We'll go into detail and dive into that story of when the Holy Spirit filled those early disciples and they were transformed and the church was born. But up until that day, I'd like to spend the next few weeks just looking at the contrast between who they were before and who they were after. How resurrection power and the power of the Holy Spirit changed these followers of Jesus into the church. Luke tells us that they were of one heart and one soul. Well, you remember before, right? How these disciples would argue amongst themselves over who was the greatest. Even at the table of the Last Supper, some of them were arguing. You remember the story when the mother of James and John asked Jesus if one of her boys could sit next to Jesus on his right hand in the kingdom? And those other disciples didn't like that, and they got mad, and they were all jockeying for position. And now, after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, they are of one heart and one soul. Luke tells us that there was not a needy person among them. Well, that wasn't the case before. Those early disciples of Jesus weren't always interested in meeting other people's needs or even hearing about them. You remember that time when Jesus was preaching at the hillside and thousands of people had gathered? The sun started to set and the disciples realized, these people are going to start getting hungry. Jesus, we need to send them home. We can't feed these people. We can't meet their needs. But of course, we know what Jesus did. He said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. And a miracle happened and all of them were fed. Or maybe you remember that time Jesus was passing through Jericho and the blind man was calling after him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples tried to hush him up. Shush, Jesus doesn't have time for you and your needs. We got big things going. We got someplace to go. They didn't have any interest in meeting that man's need, but Jesus stopped and healed the man. Or the time when the parents were bringing their children and they wanted Jesus to bless their children, and the disciples tried to send them away. No, we don't want to meet your needs. And Jesus, of course, said, let the children come to me. But that was before, see. And now, after, this group of believers has among them no one in need. Everyone's needs were met, and met with generosity and compassion. And then Luke tells us that great grace was upon them all. Boy, they needed grace, didn't they? We know what they did. Peter denied Jesus. The other disciples deserted Jesus. Last week, if you were here on Easter, we heard Mark's account of the empty tomb where even the women, even the ones who were most faithful to Jesus, failed to tell at first. All of them had failed Jesus in some way. And yet, in those first days after the resurrection, the risen Christ appeared in their midst. And he said to them, peace be with you. And they were forgiven. And great grace was upon them all. And so after, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit in these very first days of the church, they were so grounded in how much grace they had been given that people out in the world could look at them and say, great grace is upon them. Look at the grace that they offer to other people. Look at the forgiveness and mercy and kindness that flows through these Jesus people. So we have this glimpse of the very earliest church, this eruption of the Holy Spirit where the church was born. And it was beautiful. But it didn't last very long. It lasts for about a paragraph. Right in the next chapter, there's a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they sell a field, and they're going to give the proceeds to the church, and they do, but not all of it. And they hold some back, and they lie about it. And then in the sixth chapter, some of the groups within the church start arguing with each other because one group says, our widows are not being treated as fairly as your widows are. Yours are getting more than ours when the resources are distributed. We're not getting as much. And conflict erupts. And by the time we see the church in Corinth and Thessalonica and all as the New Testament goes on, we see conflicts and factions and the rich and the poor, and people aren't sharing all of their resources. And so what do we do with that? Do we say to ourselves that this vision of the church in the fourth chapter of Acts is just a pipe dream? It probably didn't happen anyway. Let's just discard it. No. I think Luke handed down to us this account of the earliest days of the church to have before us a vision of who we're called to be. This is what it looked like when it first was born into the world. And even 2,000 years later, we who are followers of Jesus are called to be the church and to live into that vision with all that we have. So when it says they were of one heart and one soul, maybe we're not there right now. We've got a lot of division among Christians, in our own denomination, in congregations. But we are yet called to be of one heart and one soul. Our own founder of Methodism, John Wesley, said, "Though we are not of one mind, may we not be of one heart? Even though we disagree sometimes on issues of politics or issues in our world or what color the carpet needs to be, even though we're not always of one mind, is it possible to be of one heart?" It happened then. It happens. How can we live into that as the people of God? And there was not a needy person among them. We might say to ourselves, well, that's impossible. There's no way we can meet everybody's needs. Maybe not. But can we be a congregation of people where we are safe to name our own needs, to speak out loud where we are broken, whether our needs be financial or emotional or relational? Can we name those as a community of faith, and can we do all that we can to have compassion and to meet the needs of one another and the needs of our community? We can't do it all, but through the power of Christ, we could perhaps live into that meeting of the needs of the people. And when we hear that grace was upon them all, is that not a calling and a reminder to all of us to remember the grace that has been shown to us? To ground ourselves in how much mercy we have been shown and how beloved we are of God, so that when we look out into the world, when we interact with others, we don't interact with judgment. We don't pronounce who's in and who's out, but we respond with grace because of the grace we have received. It's a high vision that Luke offers us, and it may seem impossible. It's not real simple. And we can't just call in a group of experts to come and fix everything and make us into the perfect church. But it can be a journey that we go on together. We'll never get there if we just rely on our own willpower. If we just say to ourselves, we're going to meet the needs of everybody, we're going to be of one heart, we can't do that. But what we can do is open ourselves to the power of resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit and trust that God can transform us and take us further on that journey than we are today. That the power of the resurrection can be at work in us, that we might be Easter people, even here, even now. May it be so.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up our joys and concerns as a congregation, as an offering to God. If you have prayer requests, please fill out the gray card in the pew rack in front of you. Please note if you'd like for it to be kept confidential or shared with the congregation, and put that gray card into the offering plate that will come by in a few moments. We have two roses on our retable this morning. One is in celebration of Vivian Ray Hardin, who was born March the 13th to Janet and Matt Hardin. She is welcomed also by her siblings, Henry and Grace Hardin. And also for Isla Wren Kathleen Darling, who was born March the 18th to Ashley and Scott Darling. We are mourning with three families this morning. West End Congregational Care intern Anita Peebles and her family are mourning the death of her grandfather, Hugh Irving Wilcoxon, who died on March the 27th in Farmington, Illinois. And Aaron Olson and his family are mourning the death of his grandfather, Robert Olson, who died March the 28th in Oaks, North Dakota. Services were held there on Friday, April the 6th. And Kathy and Eva Whaling and their family are mourning the death of Kathy's brother, Sean Michael Whaling, who died March the 31st in Cary, North Carolina. Services were held in Apex, North Carolina on Saturday, April the 7th. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. As early followers of Jesus, who gathered for fellowship and worship, praying and singing and reading the scriptures, so we gather now to pray. We read in Acts that the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Draw us to your heart so that we too may be one in your spirit. They shared everything. Everything they owned, everything they had. Enlarge our hearts that they may be big enough to receive the greatness of your love. Stretch our hearts that we may share that love with those who need it. Move from our hearts to our minds and hands and feet so that we may notice where there is not enough and share what we have. God, your grace was at work in them, powerfully at work within them all. There was not a needy person among them. May it be so for us as well. Amen. God has graciously given us all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return our tithes and offerings to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Let us join our voices together as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The body of Christ, broken and given, that we might become the body of Christ for the world. The blood of Christ poured out for you and for me and for all, that we might be people of grace. As we prepare to come to this table to see the kingdom of God emerge in our midst, it's my privilege to remind all of us that this is an open table, and all who are here are welcome at this table. All who are not here are welcome at this table. That is part of our work, is to invite all to the table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, we'll be led by our ushers. The choir will go first, followed by our friends in the balcony and the transepts, and then the rest of us in the nave. We'll be invited to come and kneel at the altar rails. If you would come with your hands open, that will allow our servers to know that you've not yet received the bread and the cup. And then you can stay and pray as long as you would like at the altar rails. If you need gluten-free bread, we will have that available. Kaylee will have that, and if you just let her know, she'll serve you the gluten-free bread. Also, if you're unable to make your way forward, Lisa and I will be going around the sanctuary, and we'll be happy to serve you in your pew if you let us know that. And every time we gather at the table, we have an opportunity to give to a mission of our congregation. And this month's communion offering goes to Community Care Fellowship, which is over in East Nashville. It's a full-service day shelter. And in the afternoons, they also have after-school programs for the children in James Casey Homes. It's an important ministry in our United Methodist Connection. So the plates are out if you feel led to make a gift there. The table is set. Your place is set. We have all been invited by our host and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come, all things are ready.
I invite you to remain seated as together we offer thanks for what we have received. Let us pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. We have a group of friends who are traveling to Guatemala in the days ahead to share the love of Christ, to meet the love of Christ in our friends who are there. So I'd like to invite the team members who are here at this service to come forward at the altar rail. We had several who came at 8:45 and were prayed for and commissioned to go forth, and these are some of our other friends who are going. All of their names are printed in the bulletin, and I would encourage you to take your bulletin home and keep these names before you in your prayers over the next couple of weeks as they travel and as they meet Christ in the faces of those they go to serve. I would invite you to kneel and let us pray together. Holy God, from the earliest days of the church, you have filled your servants with your Holy Spirit and sent them out into the world to share your love. And so here, these friends have come forward to offer themselves in service. We ask your Holy Spirit to fill them and go with them as they go to Guatemala to be in service, to love their neighbors, and to meet you. Bless their work and bring them home safely to us to share their stories of how they have experienced you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you're able and let us join together in singing our closing hymn. Christ is alive. May the power of the resurrection animate us as Christ's body in this world today.
May we know and share his love, his justice, his joy, and his peace. Amen.